If that is the case, we should then like start the nomination process from the right, so that he is nominated provisionally. Can I call for nomination once I get for an acting chairman of this meeting? Second, thank you very much. You can take your
I think we've already lost some time. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, officials from the department and members of other parties present here. Thank you for nominating me appointing me to chair this meeting. Do we have any apologies? Mr. Walker?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We do have an apology from our Deputy Minister. He was supposed to lead the delegation today, but he's coming this morning, and so he's not able to join us.
Any other apologies? None. Without any further waste of time, we'll then hand over to the department to brief us on its readiness for the 2010 for the World Soccer Event. Mr. Wakashi, I don't know who's going to lead us on that, but over to you.
I'll do the briefing. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And honorable members, I think it's the first time.
And maybe before you do that, you know, I'm not going to take it for granted that we all know what it is. I think it would be appropriate to go into the rest. Let's start with.
My name is Kamalunenka. I'm a member of the committee.
My name is
I'm the director I'm Ben de Toey. I'm representing the Dutch Reformed Church and also the SACC, but I presume I'm in the wrong meeting. It's only going to be on the 17th that you are speaking on moral regeneration. So thank you for excusing me and hope that I will be, or we will be informed on the address about the change of meeting.
I'm sorry, I have a
I'm Albertina Kakaza from Constitution.
Yes, so thank you so much. I'm sorry, if there was something.
Can I give you my address first?
Thank you very much. But that gentleman is not introducing himself.
So I'm Joanna Zola from Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And since this is the first time we meet in 2010, I hope it is not too late to wish everybody, a wonderful 2010. And I'm quite certain that we're going to surprise a lot of people, including ourselves, and about our ability to host and to give a beautiful 2010. Chairperson, as a way of introduction, we at the Department of Arts and Culture have not signed any government guarantees. Like, for example, the Department of Sport. It signed some guarantees in terms of the stadia and so forth. And we were not in that group of government departments that have signed that guarantees. But it is widely understood that we are the key department towards the realization of both the tangible and intangible government priorities around 2010. Through our activities, it is believed that we will, through social cohesion campaigns, manage to galvanize the nation and the sense of patriotism towards the hosting of 2010. And also, some of our programs will, of course, be looking at the very challenging situations of xenophobia around the country. And we want to use this 2010 to also mobilize against xenophobia. Also, we are hoping that that the spin-off, the business spin-off, particularly for the sector of arts and culture, would go a long way towards a distribution, fair distribution of the of the pie, and thereby distributing the wealth. Of course, our vision and mission is very much understood by the portfolio committee, and so I'm not going to spend time on about page slide 3. And I would then go to the very proposition, and which is that our point of departure at the Department of Arts and Culture is that
We are indeed the heart and the soul of the nation. That's our point of departure. And we look at arts and culture, our portfolio, as the glue that binds our society together. We are the custodians of a caring nation, and a caring nation that is also charged with the issues of moral regeneration, social cohesion, and of course, these are all the issues of custodianship of the arts and culture portfolio. With regard to the overview of our programs, and first, we have prioritized the popularization of the national symbol, and we've got programs like Fly the Flag for football. We have got flag in every school. We have got My 2010 School Adventure. And all of these are programs that are currently underway and are being delivered as part and parcel of the popularization of national symbols, in particular the flag. We also have got a component that addresses itself to the issues of legacy. And the legacy we're talking about is legacy that is actually targeting infrastructure. Although in the presentation you are just in a establishment of a Pan-African theater, there are a number of activities that we're doing. For example, we are... Oh, Mr. Malibati, I'm not able to see. We have got legacy programs, which are mainly infrastructure programs. For example, we are upgrading our community art centers so that the community art centers can also serve as public viewing areas. And outside of the official public viewing areas that are linked to the stadium, but we have got community art centers spread throughout the country, and we are thinking that the upgrading of those could result in long-term usage of that. All our playhouses are now being refurbished. The Artscape here in Cape Town is getting into the second phase of refurbishment, and so it's that kind of an infrastructure that of a legacy program that I'm talking about. We are looking at the Windy Brow Theatre, which is located just next to Hillbrow. Well, it actually is in Hillbrow. It is actually in Hillbrow. And it's a theater that has been struggling and with its programming, and mainly because I think that people think that we cannot go into Hillbrow. No, Hillbrow is a nightmare story and so forth. But when you go into Hillbrow, you find that Hillbrow is the capital of Pan-Africanism in South Africa. And that perhaps what we have been doing incorrectly is to say Windy Brow is in Hillbrow instead of saying Windy Brow is in Lagos. And that it should take to the artistic needs of the population surrounding it.
So we are investing, we're going to be investing quite a significant amount of money in upgrading of that theater so that we can it can be a Pan-African theater. And we are going to also expand the board and to include some of the prominent African artists and directors to serve on the board. And there are also legacy programs that are really linked to heritage and tourism. We have at the present moment we have identified that so-called liberation route, and that liberation route is looking at some significant sites and that mark the history of the of liberation in our country. And these are not the only things that are happening in South Africa. For example, we are working in Mozambique, in Matola, and the work is going on over there. And I think this is part of the spin-off in terms of legacy that we are talking about. We will also have a very unique Africa Day this year. Normally, the Africa Day has been generally a day of African diplomacy, and everybody, honorable members, then that evening has Your Excellency, and it's always been a day for Your Excellency. But this time, what we want to do, not what we want to do, what we will be doing, is to focus on the artists from the five African countries and that are going to be participating in the World Cup and of course ourselves, and this is the so-called six pack. And if I may, honorable members, there is something that is uncomfortable about these six packs, because they say that the majority of South African men are just so unfit that we have got a six pack inside of a cooler bag. And we want to unleash that artistic talent of the six pack. And what is really wonderful about the countries that have qualified for the World Cup, African countries that have qualified for the World Cup, is that all of them, without exception, are known for creativity. It's not a challenge to get, artists, whether they are singers, whether they are dancers, whether they are drummers, and so we are blessed in that regard, and of course that is part and parcel of what we will be calling an African. That what we are calling an African World Cup, and it is of course an exercise in building unity on the continent. Now, I'm just trying to find some. There have been indications that the head of the AU, Social Development, Social Affairs Advocate Kawana, will also lead an AU delegation that will be attending the Africa Day this year. We will also be partnering with the city of Johannesburg in hosting the Africa Day. There are the issues of the official program. First, let me say that we've participated appointed in the draw, and that was well before that we started with a confederation cup, and we were involved in the opening and in the closing ceremonies of the confederation cup. We had a tripartite arrangement between the city of Johannesburg and the LOC and ourselves in terms of funding the that specific program, and we were also involved with the final draw, which took place here in Cape Town, in both cases, we received very positive feedback. What we are working on now is the opening and the closing ceremony. Now, I think it is important to bring to the honorable member's attention that the LOC went out to tender for a company that would do the first one was called Confed Cup. The reason why I'm stumbling like this is for two reasons. One, I'm a true and true artist. I'm not very much au fait with the issues of sport. And I don't fit the stereotype of a South African man who goes crazy on Saturday over soccer. I go crazy over theater and other things. But June, I'm sure that I would have improved, and my patriotism will come first. So the company that was appointed by FIFA was appointed on some of the considerations was that if it handled the Confederations Cup very well, it would then, that consortium would then carry on and be given the actual World Cup opening and closing ceremony. And really they did well. So they went on to get the opening and the closing ceremony. The contract has already been signed between the consortium and the LOC. At the present moment, both the opening and the closing ceremonies are standing at at a cost of 120 million rand. The manner in which that is divided is that the Department of Arts and Culture will contribute 40 million, which is a third. LOC will contribute a third, which is 40 million. And then the city of Johannesburg, it will be another 40. Then that makes it a whole. And that is the structure that for the financing of the opening and the closing ceremonies. And the consortium itself has already started with the rehearsal. And again, one of the briefs that went into the consortium for the opening and closing ceremonies is that it should focus on the six-pack. Ideally, we would have loved to, and there are still indeed some many requests that are coming from other African countries who want to participate in the opening and closing ceremonies. But regrettably, it's not possible. And just last week, I met with the mayor of Kigali, and where Rwanda wanted to participate in the opening, either the opening or the closing ceremony. So, but now the challenge is that you have got a limited time for the opening and closing ceremonies, and we have got 54 member states of the African Union. So, in order for people not to feel that they are not participating, we are using other performance spaces that we have to be able to book artists from other African countries. You'll find that, for example, the State Theatre in Pretoria has got its own program around 2010, and that would include artists from the non-participating countries in the World Cup. And so throughout the country, in spaces where we have got control, and we will be doing that. But also, we have got the public viewing areas, and the PVAs will also be a platform for the non-qualifying countries to participate, at least artistically, and to also bring their craft here, and at least be visible and confirm that this is indeed an African World Cup. In terms of the Department of Arts and Culture's programs, we have got a tournament guide. We are also involved with mass mobilization campaigns. And really the target here is to engage with the arts and culture sector and setting up conditions for mobilization and of the society. I must say up front that this has been a situation where people have been saying all kinds of things, that the department is not funding artists, that money has disappeared, and 150 million has disappeared. And at one stage, people said that I have personally been involved in siphoning 150 million. And one time I was here in the parliamentary precinct, and I met with Tim Odise, and he said to me, "Hey, Tim, but 150 million, where do you start, my chief, with 150? And I said, "With a Learjet." And but it's what people forget is that our program of 2010 does not arrive this year. Our program, the first allocation that come through for 2010, they start with the 2007-2008 financial year. And over that period, we have been spending money on a number of activities that are linked with 2010. We had to go to Germany, for example, to pick up to fetch the cup, and we are offered facilities during the German World Cup, Germany's World Cup, that we could go and be visible there. And when that was reported back then, here people were quite happy about it, and that were visible in Germany, and there was a huge delegation, and that went to Germany, led by the head of state, and a number of artists and so forth, but people have forgotten that now because we're 2010, and the and so the expenditure is not starting in 2010. The expenditure on our allocation of 2010 starts from 2007. So there are a number of activities that we have been involved in. And secondly, one wants to also be able to say, with mass mobilization campaigns, you've got to be careful that you don't unleash mass mobilization campaigns too early, and that by the time the event comes, all that energy has fizzled out. And so, one, the question of timing and the question of harnessing the energy becomes quite important. Honorable Chairperson, I must report that from the artistic community, this is just outside of our own institution. From the artistic community, we had received 195 proposals for activities around 2010. What then the minister did was to pull together a task team to help him go through the proposals for 2010. The task team was composed of the CEO of the National Arts Council, CEO of the National Film and Video Foundation, the CEO of the National Heritage Council. We then it also took Bongile Khumalo in her capacity as the chairperson of the National Arts Festival in Grahamstown, and then took two other people, Professor Piti Ganduli and Edivon Chanachak, to assist through this proposal. And of course, and needless to say, whatever proposals you get, there will always be more than what you have to distribute. But we have gone through that process, and 43 proposals were then recommended by the task team for funding, and we think that those proposals would go a long way in terms of achieving the mass mobilization that we need for the FIFA World Cup. The minister is at the present moment touring the country, the African countries that are qualified in Ghana now, and then should be going to other countries, and we will. She will be back in a week's time, and after that, we will be ready, I think, for the minister to make announcement on the 43 groups that will be driving this campaign. Of course, honourable members, that what I am giving you is just but programs that are being driven from national. Each and every province has got a plan for 2010. Even the provinces that are not hosting, for example, Northern Cape, and they've got quite a number of impressive programs, like building of PPA plays and so forth, and hosting of artists and other activities. So there is a lot of arts and culture activities that are being earmarked. And there are programs also that are happening outside of government that the people that are entrepreneurs in these areas would also be looking at promoting 2010. We have, for example, been funding a number of festivals such as Joy of Jazz and Cape Town International Jazz Festival, and we are using those. We are also for branding 2010, and when you go to the Cape Town International Jazz Festival this year in the first week of April around the Easter weekend, you will actually see that it is different in terms of branding than the other, the previous festivals. And this is part and parcel of us, of our marketing effort. What is it that the fans and the South Africans can expect? We are expecting that the world, will, when it visits our country, it will find a country that is quite patriotic, a country that is proud, and a country that is excited for hosting this world event. They will find a colorful and exuberant display of visual arts, of the performing arts, of fashion, music and crafts. And we dare say that we will be offering a spectacular opening and closing ceremonies, and that will make us proud. But I also want to add that, for example, they have, at least now that tendency is gone, there was a tendency to say, give us a spectacular that will equal or surpass the Olympic Games. And these are different codes, sporting codes. So the traditions of a soccer World Cup are different from the traditions of the Olympic Games. And but we're saying that within the traditions of the soccer World Cup, we will be offering something that is spectacular for both the opening and closing ceremony. But also, we think that this is a unique opportunity for the African continent to also celebrate its achievement. The overview of tournament deliverables, and you will see there, I've talked to the issues of the PBAs. That's the next slide, please. I've addressed myself to the issues of the PBAs. I've addressed myself to the question of the FIFA official program, both the opening and closing ceremony, and our particular program at the Department of Arts and Culture. The third column is really a column that would tell you about the communication channels that are linked to all these activities. And of course, on the next slide, we are partnering with the SABC, with DTI, and so the activities are actually quite that broad. And as I said, we have got a provincial cultural program. The host cities themselves, in the next slide, the host cities themselves have got their own cultural programs. So it's what one sees, kind of an apex of activities, if one can put it like that. That at the top of it is the activities, national activities, that we are doing. There are provincial activities. There are host cities activities. And that is the level of investment that is going into the arts and culture program for the 2010 World Cup. Now, what I've done, Honorable Members, is that I've given you a rather high level overview of what it is that that we are doing, and if we had to take institution by institution in terms of the activities that are happening there, we will then require a day and a half workshop to take you through the activities of all what our institutions are doing. And our museums have got programs underway, our theaters have got programs that are underway, and so there is a host of activities that are underway. Quickly, in terms of the timeline, we are happy with the timeline in terms of where we are regarding the PBA, the work that we are doing as the department itself, and the ceremonies, the rehearsals are already underway, and I hope that then gives us a context to have a conversation around this World Cup. And I want to emphasize again, and I've not given a breakdown detail because I did not think that was going to take us too far, because it really requires a lot of time. But we are confident that we are there, and that by the end of this month, and we would then be distributing the funds that will create the hype around those 42 projects. But work has been happening since 2007. Thank you, sir.
Something that would be of concern to many of us is the economic spin-off of this thing, especially I would say for people in the rural areas. Because these things are happening in these big cities, and there are people who are almost, you know, away from this whole event. This proposal that you've received, the 190
proposal, whether or not those areas are covered, if they're not covered, you know, wouldn't it be advisable to actually go into those areas, like, you know, which areas I'm referring to get people closer to the event? Yeah, maybe I should leave it at that, and then, oh yeah, you mentioned airports.
Yeah.
You know this, the branding that you were talking about, especially as far as the, what would be happening during the arrival of the teams, especially at the airport? What would it be like at the airport? You know, would people be, you know, seeing this visual art? Let me just say what would be happening. Yeah, I think that's a good question.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for a report from the department. But really, it's a good report. But the Committee of Arts and Culture, you don't seem to be involved in this old 2010 event. I think we are very far from it as a committee. This is the first time maybe we get a briefing from the department. And only a few months to go. And we don't know our involvement as a committee. Like sports, they are very involved. You know? They are going out FIFA to the stadium, checking the stadium. But us, it's so quiet, really. That's my worry, and that's my question to the department. Why we are not involved as a committee? Thank you.
Thank you.
not clear. I know it's not very new, but I think something else is important so that the government is in a way carried on with the plan of the idea. You also mentioned, you know, a very good initiative, which is probably, I call it CEO group, President Allen, who has, and who would also support it here in a good opportunity. I don't know what the other issue that surprises me, or that are behind all that, but what we have told us, yeah. From my point of view, only lacking one area, which is the application of the public. And only one is enough from one GOC to involve to a certain extent parties that we already mentioned. But there are people, groups, you know, that would not necessarily be called artists or so, but community. Because I relate the participation I'm talking to some of the groups, like you have your Sangoko, you have your Nangosa, you have your CBO network, you have your Komboku. And I'm not saying choose from those. I'm just saying that, you know, for a bigger voice of the public, you probably need to consider to draw one or two, if not all, say one, especially now, some of those, if not all, that are national bodies that have an interest in this 2010, and of course, in Athens, they actually have some progress, you know, that relates to Athens culture, that, you know, linked it to 2010, and but there are so many groups also that are more provincial and so on. So probably you don't need to look at those. There are also other groups that are more to do with the, you know, Athen culture specifically. And I really feel that, you know, but my question was that, you know, you did think about the participation of the public, but maybe you because you also talk along with the money, you know, some money, you know, you got 40 million, and each role player that has contributed to that report, but you see the department wouldn't have, you know, that kind of material. And I think you need to consider the criteria, and you have to be important. Especially you talk of the public participation, that you have some progress that you would go out and encourage, instead you talk of the mass mobilization and such role player, stakeholder would actually play a role to assisting in making sure of either awareness or educational awareness. You know, sort of an approach for anything else that would make the people to really feel that they also part of it. You know, this is what I'm referring to. So, yeah, that's my.
Thank you very much. That is happening ourselves as a province. And only 2 weeks ago, we met to look at the issues of infrastructure, rolling out, upgrading of the community art centers and so forth. And we also have got another meeting that is scheduled for the 25th and 26th of this month again. So we are kind of rating ourselves with the provinces. But there is also a bigger coordination forum and happening at the LOC level as well, where provinces are there, host cities are there, and so forth. So that is the level of coordination that is there. And your last question, Chairperson, talked about the challenges. And I think that one of the biggest challenges that we have is to ensure the economic spin-off, the biggest challenge. And because everybody out there just thinks that I want to make a big fast buck around 2010. And so there is also, I think, a lot, you know, there's a lot of rumor, there's a lot of people who say, no, this is what is happening, rates around accommodation and all of that. So there is, one, the role of the shark that will be there, will take advantage of our own community. And two, is the challenge of skills legacy. We are hosting these big events, these World Cups, and so forth. And when you look at some of the consortiums that are coming, you know, then you want to say to yourself, is the black economic empowerment? Are we spreading wealth? That's the biggest challenge. And monitoring the spread of that wealth and its impact, the biggest challenge. So when you raise the issue of economic spin-off, it's very important, particularly when one considers the restrictions around the stadium, the FIFA restrictions themselves. And it's very difficult for us to undo the signatures that have already gone into those contracts. For example, there is still no absolute clarity around the team song.
There's
an agreement on the dance, but not on the song. You know? So some of these things are still being negotiated, because your Sonys have bought these rights with a huge amount of money. And so you've got to negotiate with Sony, you've got to negotiate with LOC, with FIFA. So again, this question of economic spin-offs is a challenge. But I don't think we are unique in finding ourselves in this situation. And off the record, and is that people say that by the time Germany was done with World Cup, they did not want to see any FIFA officials at all. and I don't know whether that would be the case or not with that. But I think that looking at the relationship, at least, that we see between Sepp Blatter and the LOC and whatever, and there is a good rapport and some flexibility. the proposals received cover rural areas, and the provinces have been very eager to ensure that the rural areas are covered. The arrivals of the team, well, in terms of the main airport, which is the OR Tambo Airport, when you get into the get off the aircraft, international arrivals at OR Airport, you will see big billboards advertising our World Heritage Site. And that is the least that we could do. Because to get space at the airport, you have got to book quite in advance, and it's quite an expensive exercise. But from what we have done there, we have motivated with AXA, and they've agreed that even beyond 2010, the Department of Arts and Culture must work with the airport company in beautifying all the airports that are under the control of AXA. So that's the conversation that is taking place there. But what would exactly be happening, I really don't know. I don't know what's going to happen when Brazilians land, you know, and or Canadians, and but I think there's going to be a lot of excitement, and there will be a lot of vuvuzela noise going around, and I think there's a campaign, for example, that every Friday people are wearing the t-shirt. But now what I'm starting to see is that I'm seeing people wearing Argentinian t-shirts. They are starting to wear Brazilian t-shirts. Yeah, you're seeing. But so the mood is contagious. So it's a good thing to pick up. And last week in my department, the staff asked for that they should use the lunch break to wear their t-shirts on Friday and play disc and flying off the flag, singing off the national anthem. And I got a call from a friend of mine and said to me, "Temba, what's happening at DAC? Are they doing?" And I said, no, they are just being patriotic. And so, but you start to see those happening. And we are with the last three comments or questions raised. I agree with it. And we have not really involved the portfolio committee in a very active way, and it's not too late to correct that, and maybe we can also do a couple of things. One, to look at first coming to the portfolio committee, reporting on those 43 projects that I've talked about, the nature, the scope, the impact that we think that those will have. Secondly, as the work goes on, the rehearsals and things like that for the opening and closing ceremonies, I think it would be it would be appropriate for the portfolio committee to be seen to be there. And not only for that, maybe we can also go and see what is happening in the whole city, you know. And so that as a portfolio committee, you can get briefed on the cultural program of the whole city. And I also don't think it would be out of order for the portfolio committee to invite the whole city manager to come and do the presentations. I mean, there are some fascinating programs that are coming up and around the whole city with carnivals and things like that. And Trinidad and Tobago is teaming up as a diaspora with the city of Johannesburg, and they want to do a massive carnival, but they also want to look at the economics of carnival. I was looking at this. Trinidad and Tobago carnival, and I was meeting with them just now. And so there are activities, exciting activities that are happening, and that we can facilitate for the portfolio committee to be involved in. And my apologies for not being proactive in this regard. And the communities and talking to national bodies, it's a huge, huge task. And the sporting codes and clubs are also doing the same in mobilizing. And what we can do for a large to a large extent is to do that mobilization within the arts and culture sector. A week ago, I was at Regina Mundi in Soweto, and it was a farewell for Professor Mzilikazi Khumalo, his retirement. And Regina Mundi was just packed with choirs. Packed with choirs. It was unbelievable. The singing that was there started at 2 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock, people were still singing. Now, one thing I know is that there is no community in South Africa that does not have choir. Be they white communities, black communities, in informal settlements, in that, everywhere, in rural areas, there's a choir. And then the question becomes, how can we mobilize, you know, choirs? I'm sure there will be songs around 2010 and all of those things, and in mobilizing the community. But on a much more a legacy, lasting impact, is how can we leverage these choirs as agents of social cohesion? Beyond 2010, what do we do? So I think, Honorable Member, you're raising a very, very important issue that as we are mobilizing our communities, galvanizing them to be excited by 2010 and spirit of patriotism and so forth, we have got to be able to say, what do we do beyond the World Cup? And there is something that I don't like, which I've heard, is that people think that the whole country is going to be depressed. We're going to need antidepressants because we won't have anything to focus on. And I think that is not true. We are quite a dynamic society. We're quite a dynamic nation. After that, we will be focusing on other things. But that's my response to the chapter. Oh, chapter 10, challenges. And as I've said, the first and the biggest challenge we have is ensuring that the economic spin-offs happen. And the second challenge we have is to ensure that the legacies of 2010 is sustained, beyond 2010. And the third challenge to me is that if it's a pity because there is very little we can do on this third one, which is the issue of the contract. All right, it's a challenge that is there, but I don't know if it is worth the fight now. I'd rather focus my energies on things that are doable and achievable than just keep on hitting my head against the wall. That is mainly the areas of challenge. We have got our own, internal challenges, and that is capacity of the country as a whole, and it is a challenge. But I don't think, I mean, I'm talking particularly in, for example, if you look at the opening and closing ceremony, we will always use either Gear House or what's the other one? But these technical service providers, you know. And it is one sector that is actually not transformed completely. And technical skills in the area, in this area, it's an area that will require attention. But other than that, I think now everything is one cannot tinker with anything. Everything is, has been agreed upon. All the deals have been done.
What I can offer to do is
send you the list of the, or maybe not just to you, Mpumalanga, let me just send to the portfolio committee the list of what is being done in every province with regard to the work of the upgrading of community art centers.
Engaging with the civil society organizations that he mentioned. And I think you correctly, you know, answered that you focus really on the arts and culture community. Maybe if you could answer in that respect, you know, whether you are satisfied that enough work has been done to draw in as broad as possible, you know, people within that sector. You know, what my problem is always, that we will focus on Asamoah and some other bubblegum artists and so on. I don't have anything against them, you know, but that's not really what we can call South African art. or our culture, things like that. But, you know, are we going, you know, into that, what I would call neglected area of artists in our country? This is another opportunity, because I think, you know, and this is always my complaint, you see, that we don't really use some, like your Freedom Day celebration, we will complain that a certain section of our citizenry does not participate in it, but we don't present it in a manner that attracts everybody. You know, you'll always have the same artists from the same communities, and other communities are not involved. You know, are we using this as another opportunity of us deepening our efforts to for social cohesion and nation building? In your mind, or you know, how you see things, the work that you are doing, is that what we are doing? You know, so we see this as another opportunity. So if we talk about consultation among, you know, the arts community, you know, are we going to everybody? Are we going to David Kramer? I'm just using that as an example, you know, and so on. Are they part of you know, to reflect the South African
society? Yes, we are, but I think honorable member would get a sense of that when we present to you this 43, a program that I was talking about, and then we can have a sense of how balanced things are. And regarding the issue of National Day, we have received an instruction from the President that as a Department of Arts and Culture, we need to relook at how we celebrate and commemorate National Holiday. Because the manner in which we are doing at the present moment is not really getting everybody together. But also, conceptually, you know, we think of National Days as, we talk of them as holidays. We don't talk of them as National Day. So everybody, when the National Day, they think that, fine, let me put on my shorts, invite some friends, get some bright clothing, couple of this and that, and that's it. Or go to the mall, you know. And we do not distinguish between the days we can celebrate and the days that we are commemorating. For example, I do think that we should celebrate Women's Day because it's about women's achievement. All right. But do we celebrate June 16th? It's not a holiday. It's a day for commemoration. But even if you look at the youth on June the 16th, some of them just get absolutely drunk out of their skulls. You know, and we have got no, there is no public education about public holidays or about national days and what they are supposed to mean. And we're gonna see that on March the 21st now. I would not be surprised that on March the 21st, as other activities are happening to commemorate the day in Sharpeville itself. Yes. So there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done in that regard. And perhaps, honorable members, one of the challenges in this regard is the fact that, you know, there's a tendency for government to think alone. Part of the thing, I think, is also coming from the thing of people saying, where's the government? Government must lead, you know. But you don't get people clamoring for a conversation with the government. They just want leadership and service delivery, but they don't want to engage with the government. And so government tends to think alone and move alone. And I think we need to broaden the conversation, particularly on these issues of social cohesion. I don't think it's an issue that will take us only from drafting cabinet memorandums and getting cabinet decisions. But also the presidency has said that once that framework has come out, it's a framework that he would like to discuss with other political parties.
Any further statements?
I think the portfolio committee may also have to consider undertaking some oversight visits to what you mentioned earlier, to see some of the preparation that cities are building. But I think we'll also await the 43%. Maybe, I don't know which will come first. Maybe it would be better to have that. So how soon do you think can expect? Yeah, I think maybe if we get that first and then the portfolio committee then goes out. Look at it. some of the preparations in the in province. Maybe we'll release the department after this, but we've got another item to attend. So what I'm going to ask the DG, it's a bit unfortunate that we actually received this only now in the meeting. You know, I think in future it would be helpful for us to actually get, that's why maybe members are not that well prepared to engage with. But I think in future if we can get the time, it will really be helpful. But you're not going to leave, I'm going to see you. Members must remain because we have to go through the minutes. Okay, that's a request that we have a 3-minute body break.
Members,
Let's start. Oh, I thought Lali was a member. He's not a member. Oh, okay. I don't even know. To be a member. I just checked the minutes that we're supposed to approve. We only have two people in this meeting. We're in that meeting, so we can't consider approval of this meeting. So we will put the minutes for the next. We'll put them aside for the next meeting. I think there's some information regarding the workshop. Do you want to brief us on that?
Thank you, Chair. Last week, on the 10th of March, in this venue, the committee decided to go on a strategic planning session on the 15th and 16th of March, which is next Monday and Tuesday. An application is accordingly been submitted and approved by Mr. Mahila, where it is awaiting final approval at the Chief Whip's office. Hopefully we get that application before the day expires. The venue we organized for the workshop is Mount Kunela, which is on the other side of the garden. Members will sleep on Monday. That is also a decision that was taken here in the meeting. Transport will be provided for members to pick them up on Monday. I'm not sure of the time yet, but since it's going to start at 9, I think 8 o'clock should be the time members are picked from outside parties in Parliament up to. Yes, and on Tuesday, the 16th, it will be a half day because there's a sitting and approval is conditional that members get back here on Tuesday here for the city. But there will be communication which will be sent to members about like the final arrangement. Today still or latest tomorrow before the weekend to remind them about like if there is anything urgent, we'll just open. Thank you.
Are there any comments on that? I think the secretary heard that. Is there any other minutes that need to be considered by the committee? That we, if there are, let's put them in members' pigeonhole before the meeting. Before the meeting, well before the next meeting. Okay. No, then it's something. I think the member meant minutes before this. Okay, no, that's fine. Can I say this with regards to the workshop? What we will need is, I don't know, because we don't have the program yet for this workshop, and that's very important. But we were supposed to have had the program by now, so that members can prepare themselves for the workshop. Is there any documents that we have those documents for members to go and go through those documents? Whether or not there's going to be an outside facilitator, if that is the case, that person or persons should have been contacted by now, shouldn't have been given the objective of the strategic planning workshop. So that I don't think we've got much time, Monday and half of Tuesday. You know, so we don't go there and start planning for the meeting. So we go there and work. So if those things could be attended to. But if for any reason, this meeting is not going to take place, members must also be informed on time, because they may put other things aside now, and only to find that if they've been told in time, they can then, you know, attend to those issues that they want to attend to. But I think, Sandra, let's try, you know, between now and tomorrow, just make sure that this meeting is going to take place. And if it's going to take place, just to look at the things that I've raised. I don't know if there's anything else that members want to
say. Sorry, sir, from outside the meeting, from outside the postal committee, of course, maybe what you need to do in terms of that, you should need to say, if we send documentation, by when? That's a deadline.
Yeah.
No, not leave open. If you say things that need to be done, if, for example, today, if that is Wednesday, let me say, before the end of the day, Thursday. So that at the end of the day, it's minuted that you said at this time. So that if they have not done that, you are able to say, no, we are agreed on a certain meeting that this must be done in terms of this deadline.
Okay. I think if we can put it as tomorrow, because Thursday is the last day when members leave on Thursday, most of us. So, us to prepare for the meeting or to be considered in that meeting must be with members tomorrow afternoon. Let's say tomorrow by lunchtime. Yeah. One of you might
want to clarify on some of the issues. The program, it was like so there's nothing. So there's nothing new. Members know what is in the program. What we can then do as part of the package, which should go to members, and then the decision was taken last week already. It will form part of that package.
Now, Rosanna, I think that's still there. Only two people in this meeting were in that meeting when this thing was adopted. And even if it was agreed upon there, we haven't seen, even the two who were in the meeting, haven't seen the final program. So that program may come with some changes. So it would have been helpful if we had it in this meeting and we agreed that this is the program. I'm not saying we would have changed what was agreed upon last week, but we would have had a document that goes to that meeting which we agreed on.
Thank you.